All right, let's go. It is the John DeMello Show Daily Podcast. Welcome, welcome. This is what a food hangover sounds like. As we march through a Thursday show on this March 7th post-Comfort Food Fest, we had our reaction to last night's gluttonous festivities, a wonderful night at the Fillmore. For those of us far past our New Year's resolutions to diet, there's always exercise, right? We're fine. We'll be okay. Today on the show, we paid our respects to the inventor of the calculator, heard about a creative spelling of the name Caitlin, Gwyneth Paltrow is making the news again for her latest scam, Chris Epting joined us once again to break down everything there is to know about Bruce Springsteen's glory days, we promote our big Misheard Lyrics show that'll be happening next week, and comedian Yiannis Pappas joined us for the first time ever, and ironically, he had something in common with yesterday's big bit about what it feels like to get shot. Plus, the guy just got married. So it's kind of strange that he's spending his honeymoon with us, but he did, in fact, join us today. Had a great chat with him. He's going to be in the city at a rather highfalutin place to be performing comedy this weekend, the Franklin Institute. So hope you enjoy that and so much more. It's all here for you right now. Let's get it. It is the Daily Podcast.
Yes, we're dealing with some fried puppies here this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. After last night's Comfort Food Fest, a great night. Probably the best food that was ever served at a Comfort Food Fest. It was so unique.
It really was. I mean, great really, year.
There's one thing from that. I mean, no two things were even similar.
Yeah.
All right.
You know? Some years there's like a trend, like everybody's using cheese in some way. Or
exactly.
Like, last night it was very unique.
It was exactly. Congratulations going out to Tradesman, who took the prize for their foie gras sticky bun.
Yeah.
That was really interesting. But I got to tell you something. It was so tough to come up with, you know, when we were sitting there, we were tallying up the voting, right? There was a number one. There was like three people tied for second place, three people tied for third place. You know, it was hard to decide.
Yeah. I kept switching my allegiances all throughout the night. It's like Game of Thrones.
It was great. I hope you got to go there. And if not, hopefully you will be there next year.
The John DeBella Podcast.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
102.9 MGK.
Sad news this morning. I did not hear about this. It seems it happened late last week, and I'm only getting news about it now. Jerry Merriman died.
Yeah.
Jerry.
Sounds like some benefactor from Temple that I forgot about. The Merriman Center.
Yeah. Jerry Merriman died. He was 86 years old.
Who's that?
Jerry Merriman is the man who invented the handheld calculator.
Oh, Jerry.
Really? Yeah.
When he worked for Texas Instruments or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
okay.
When he invented it, do you think he meant for it to be turned upside down so that you could spell out the word boobies on a handheld calculator?
Well, you know what? It's funny because at the funeral,
we are gathered here today to remember our dear friend, Jerry Merriman, one of the inventors of the handheld electronic calculator, who passed recently at the age of 86, which means he was born in 1932. Take out your calculators now, and I'll show you something he showed me one day at work at Texas Instruments. He entered 58008. Now turn it upside down. Boobs! He was a jokester. He will be missed. Sadly, now we must lower him into a 3704. Turn it upside down. Hole.
The John DeBella Podcast.
There's something unholy about this.
Philadelphia's classic rock.
You must be prepared for the consequences.
102.9.
What about consequences?
MGK.
Did you hit all 10 last night? You said to me you were going to hit all 10 last night.
You know, I take this very seriously.
Uh-huh.
So not only did I have everything, but the ones I liked the best, I had twice.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Atta girl.
Oh, God bless you.
I'm still digesting.
Well, you know what? I'm running around so much. I didn't get to all 10 at all last night.
It's tough for you.
I barely made six. And, you know, and what happens is I can't wait on line, right? Because I'm being tugged over here and tugged over there.
Right.
So unless, like, you know, it's like toward the end of the night when people are like, okay, I've had everything and I'm going to roll on out of here, right? That's when I start to pick on things. Like, oh, I'll try that.
Yeah, and you collected tips and you got your sources, like where to go and who to sample. simple.
Yep, it was just great. Did you have a favorite thing at the Comfort Food Fest?
I think I like the Cantina Feliz, Ruben Tostada, and Randy. Yes. Really love the Harvest.
The duck pierogi.
Yeah. Which was delicious.
That was really, really good. People were coming up to me and going, wait a second. It's a Reuben Tostada. I said, yeah, there are a lot of Jewish people in Mexico. Right? but that was really great. I like the duck also. What was the lasagna thing?
That
cheese steak lasagna.
I forget.
Oh, that was Stina Pizzeria. Right. Stina Pizzeria. That was just spectacular.
My favorite was Jones. The chicken pot pie tortellini.
Tortellini.
Oh, my God.
I forgot about that. And then, of course, there was the winner, right? And we got to congratulate the folks at Tradesman, and that is Chef Stephen Lindeberry, who did the foie gras buttercream sticky bun.
That was the first thing I had. It's because I walked in, and it was right there.
It was right there. It was freezing.
I can't believe you stopped and had it.
They really should have put that, like, as the last table in the back, because it was the only thing that was dessert, So.
Well, I actually did eat that at the very end. When you were announcing the winner, I was eating because I thought back for seconds.
And I go, he's right.
Exactly. Yeah. It was great.
John DeBella.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine.
102.9 MGK.
Now, you might recall, the last time I did a story like this, I got berated by a woman, right, who, again, was not listening. She was hearing, but she was not listening.
Uh-oh.
And it had to do with names that people give their children, and these poor kids have to go through the world.
I remember the alphabet name.
Yeah, yeah, Absidi.
Yeah, A-B-C-D-E.
Right, Absidi was what she named this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and someone accused me of trashing the little girl. No, why would I trash the girl? It's not her fault.
She's the victim.
With the idiotic name.
Right. We're not victim shaming.
As it is also for this young girl who, Caitlin's a nice enough name.
Oh, classic.
You know, you could spell it with the C-A-I version of it.
Yeah, get creative.
Or the K-A-I
version. A Y instead of an I.
Right, a Y instead of an I. Okay. This one spelled it, you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
K-V-I-I-I-L-Y-N.
Hold on. I need to write this down. Say that again.
K-V-I-I-I-L-Y-N.
Is it a silent K?
Roman numeral.
I like the I element of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, she's not Mexican, also. K-V-I-I-I-L-Y-N.
Did you just roll her fist over the keyboard to come up with this?
No. Okay, let's take all the letters out except for V-I-I-I. What is that?
Villain.
No, oh. V-I-I-I.
Eight. Number 8.
Clin?
Right, no. It's the Roman numeral 8. Right.
Oh.
So Caitlin.
Oh, right. That's like a driver. That's like a license plate.
Right. That's what I was going to say. You idiot. Caitlin. She's a child, not a license plate.
Oh, my God.
Please don't call me and tell me I dumped on the kid.
The John DeBella Podcast.
You, sir, have a feminine side, don't you?
Well, I like gals.
102.9 MGK.
Do you know what really blew me away last night at the Comfort Food Fest?
I don't.
Stina Pizzeria, which from what I understand isn't even open yet. It's about to open.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And and they did that lasagna, mm-hmm. right, with the spiced short rib. Yeah. Right. It almost came off as like a cheesesteak lasagna and the smoked mozzarella. I honestly bit into it and then said, oh, my God. It just totally blew me away. It was so good. But again, our congratulations going out to the folks, especially Stephen Lindeberry, who's the executive chef at Tradesman, and he did that foie gras buttercream sticky bun.
Heck yeah.
It was like, oh, man, that definitely topped off the night. Speaking of topping things off, not that that segue really makes much sense.
Wait. Right. Hold on. Say it again.
All right. Speaking of topping things off,
there's a new wig.
No. It's not a wig. It's not.
Toupee.
It's not a fashion thing. Nothing at all. I see where you're going.
Bowler cap.
And my tired brain from last night is not picking up on any of it. All right. No, it's time to talk about our favorite person.
She's the most obnoxious girl in the world. Gwyneth Paltrow is spewing, she's always boo-hooing, had it up to here. She's the most obnoxious girl of the year.
Yep, she is back in the news once again, folks. Gwyneth Paltrow did an interview with the New York Times. Now here's a woman who, you know, has her hand on the pulse of what society wants and needs nowadays. She knows the trends. You know, obviously, she was the first person to consciously uncouple. All right. And you got to give her credit. She was ahead of the curve on the gluten thing, right? She put out a gluten cookbook before the rest of us started hearing about gluten. But speaking to the New York Times this week, she insists that the effects of psychedelics have on mental and physical health, in addition to what they can do for addiction. All right. That we are headed, they're headed into the mainstream, that we're all going to be taking psychedelics nowadays.
No. And let me guess whose website you can find some on.
Yeah, you would find that on Goop.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and here's what tops it all off.
Okay.
She's not speaking from any of her own experience.
Okay. All right?
She's just said this. Yeah. The woman who said, put an egg-shaped rock in your hoo-ha and you're going to feel a lot better.
That's right.
Right? Has now come up with a psychedelic plan for all of us.
She's the most obnoxious girl of the year.
Oh, brother.
The John DeBella Podcast.
I get it.
What? Are you missing a couple of buttons?
Philadelphia's classic rock.
Strictly for laughs.
102.9.
You know.
MGK.
That's not bad. It's pretty clever.
Once again, the man who gave us If There's a Bustle in Your Hedgerow, 50 lyrical lines that helped define the 70s, the one, the only, Chris Epting. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, John and team. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. How are you guys doing?
Great.
All right, you all ready for Chris?
Yeah.
Heck yeah, every time.
I love Chris Epting.
You're going to love him today because you are a huge baseball fan. You know he's got a baseball book out.
I can't read.
We got to fix that.
We'll put it to Audible.
What was your baseball book, or what was it called?
Roadside Baseball.
Right.
And it's actually tied in. This is the big third edition, which is like a whole new book, comes out this June. And it relates to today's musical story. And here we are, you know, spring training's just started. I'm a huge baseball fan, too. This is my favorite time of the year. And Bruce Springsteen, you know, is really been in the news a lot lately with his Netflix special and the Broadway show. And today we're talking about Glory Days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, probably your listeners know that Springsteen sings about this chance encounter with an old buddy who had been a baseball player. Well, it's a true story. He did go to school, grade school, with a guy named Joe DePew, and they played baseball together. They were classmates at St. Rose of Lima School in Freehold, New Jersey. They played baseball together at Babe Ruth League as teenagers and all this. Good friends, but then they drift apart as Springsteen becomes a musician. Mm-hmm. Well, back in 1973, DePew, his buddy, had gone out to try out for the Dodgers. He was a great baseball player, but he didn't make it. So he's back in New York after that, goes into a bar in Neptune, New Jersey, and he sees Springsteen playing. So they hang out that night, and they have this conversation, which goes on to inspire, 10 years later, Glory Days.
So everything that's happening in that song is real.
It's all real. I think that's when Springsteen tunes work best. I mean, from my standpoint, the ones I like the best are the ones that do have that germ of reality. And mm-hmm. what's also kind of cool, I mentioned the book Roadside Baseball, because in the new edition, remember the video for Glory Days?
Yeah.
Really popular MTV video. The concert sequence was filmed at a little bar called Maxwell's in Hoboken, New Jersey, that you might remember. Great, great little joint where everybody played. But the baseball scene at the beginning where Springsteen's throwing a ball with his kid, that was at a field in New Jersey that John Sayles, the famous film director, shot the video. It's called Miller Park Stadium in West New York, New Jersey. And I include that in the book because I've got a whole section on videos and TV shows and movies where baseball was filmed, and that one is right at the top of the list. We forget how videos really did get stuck in our brain, you know, and how we wondered where those places were, and that's a very real field where baseball is still played today. And so that ties together the Boston baseball.
I think it was last summer you were prepping for the new book. And every time I would go to your Facebook page, you're like, look, this is where this stadium was. And the one that got me the most was, what was the stadium that was like in the middle of the lumber section of like a Home Depot?
Oh, God, Sick Stadium in Seattle. You can find a home plate marker in the lumber. Yeah, like the airlock that you walk into, the lumber spot. They thought to mark a plate. And look, this happens a lot where, you know, in Philadelphia, Philly has done an amazing job. And in the new roadside baseball, there's probably 20 new baseball landmarks in Philly, from the old Baker Bowl, Connie Mack Stadium, Columbia Park. I mean, Philly's got not just great baseball history, but a great habit of marking where it took place.
Now, well, you know what? When that book is ready and when that book is out, we got to do something separate on that book alone.
I would love to do that. That's when I should come into town, and maybe we'll go out to a little remote, go visit some of these places in person. That'd be fun.
That could be fun. All right. Well, from now on, he's author, musicologist, and baseball historian, Chris Epting.
I love it.
All right, and here's Bruce Springsteen, Classic Rock, 102.9 MGK.
The John DeBella Podcast.
I love scotch. Scotchy, scotch, scotch. Here it goes down.
102.9.
Down into my belly.
MGK.
You know, of all the songs they ever recorded, I don't think any one song proves how good each one of them are at the instrument that they play.
Great point.
Than that song.
Yeah, the solo is searing.
Everything.
The drumming, obviously, is just galloping and crazy.
It really is great. Hot for Teacher from Van Halen. Bruce Springsteen before that with Glory Days. Speaking of songs and speaking about songs, as we've been telling you, next Tuesday or this coming Tuesday is going to be our Misheard Lyrics show, and we're asking you to send in the ones that, well, you fouled up on. You know, it could be one that you know, or maybe it's something that your kids sang, or maybe it's something that your boyfriend sang. You know, it could be yours or someone else's. There's a lot of classic ones. Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza. Mm-hmm. We don't need those. Bingo Jet left the light on. Right? There's a bathroom on the right. Right? You know, we don't need the old ones. The ones that are unique to you or people you know, we want you to send them to us to lyrics at WMGK.com. Don't text them in, because next Tuesday we won't be able to find those texts. So just send it to lyrics at WMGK.com. Put lyrics or Misheard Lyrics in the subject line and tell us the story about it, and then maybe Tuesday we get to yours on the air. So that's lyrics at WMGK.com. Comedian Yiannis Pappas. Do you think he knows Kostaki Economopoulos?
Oh, we should ask him.
We should ask
probably
him,
the Greek,
right?
Community's not too big.
Yeah, they're all the Greek comics hang together.
Gotta know each other. Right?
The John DeBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9.
No.
MGK.
Oh, yeah. Dave has been telling me about this comic, Yiannis Pappas, and it ends up, he's coming to our area. As a matter of fact, he will be at the Franklin Institute tomorrow and Saturday. Tickets are available through sjpcomedy.com. Joining us now, ladies and gentlemen, oh, this is where I get to say kind of Spanish to somebody else. Do you hang out with Kostaki Economopoulos all the time?
I don't see him a lot. You know, we try to, there's not many Greeks in the country, so we try to split up the country and not see each other. He takes about 100,000. I take about 100,000. Dietrich Martin takes all the rest. You know? There's like four or five of us. There's only like a million Greeks in this entire country, or else I'd be as big as Aziz Ansari.
And I understand congratulations are in order. You just got, I mean, literally just got married, what, this past weekend?
Yeah, a couple days ago. Sorry, boys, I'm taken.
Were you dating for a long time? I mean, you know, do you have kids in the plan, or what's going on?
We've been dating for 4.5 years.
Okay.
I just basically, yeah, I didn't propose until, you know, she gave the old classical, like, what's going on here?
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm a guy.
Yep.
So I just kind of pushed it, like, as far as I could. Like,
uh-huh.
I was trying to, and every day I just felt like I was getting away with, like, a bank heist or something. But I knew eventually she was going to be like, what's going on? So I proposed to her. Best weekend of my life. Yeah, we got married in a castle because she didn't pay for it. So that's how that worked.
Well, 4.5 years is a good, it's good. I pushed it 10 years.
Yeah, Steve went to the extreme.
Yeah.
I'm surprised she stayed
with
you.
Yeah, I was good.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're a pimp.
That's right, I am. A pimp that drags his feet a lot.
What does she do for a living?
She works for like a commercial real estate company, because I need health insurance. So you know, whenever you hear a comedian got married, it's 50% for love, 50% for health insurance.
As a matter of fact, you were a topic on yesterday's show. We were asking people what it feels like to get shot, because Dave told me that you've gotten shot in the past.
Yeah, I did get shot. Yeah, it's not every day you can bring that up as a topic on a guest for your show. Like, hey, we're doing a little background research. We heard you took a bullet. Yeah.
What does it feel like? Obviously, it hurts. And, you know, and fortunately enough, you lived through it. But what's it feel like?
To be honest with you, it doesn't hurt as much as you think because of the adrenaline. You experience so much adrenaline. I mean, I got lucky. Obviously, it didn't hit any organs or arteries. So that may be more painful, but, I would suspect that, mostly even in those cases, adrenaline kind of protects you a little bit. You know, your body releases chemicals and you don't feel it as much, but when I did start feeling it, I will say it's hot. You know, when you get a hangnail on your big toe, I mean, how many things are more painful than that?
Seriously. So it's like,
I was wondering. To be honest with you, I think it's more painful to get shot, which is ironic. I get it. But, you know.
Did you actually get the bullet out of your body? Because where I left off with your podcast was you were getting the x-ray done.
True story. At the time, so I got shot in... the bullet was still in me. They left it in me because it was too deep, and so they just figured it was better to just leave it, and that the foreign objects will work their way to the surface. Your body just rejects them and pushes them out, which hurts. That hurts because it rips like tissue, you know, little by little.
Wow.
Every time I play basketball or something, I could feel it. So finally, I went to get it removed from the surgeon. They put me under a little bit, and I kind of came to, and they were down there, and I just farted. It just happened. I just farted. I remember waking up to them kind of like laughing because like the surgeon was working down there because my bullet, oh, I forgot to say, the bullet was like right underneath my butt cheek. So they had me up in syrup, and I basically farted right in the surgeon and nurse's face. I mean, it was a good, like, peaceful sleep fart when you morning fart for me. And then... But before that, when I got the x-ray, I had to bring the x-ray to the surgeon. You know, like I said, the area of where I got shot was right in my, you know, in my groin area.
Right.
So that was where the x-ray was. So I didn't look at the x-rays. I brought them back to the office, and I worked with a bunch of, like, older Christian ladies, too, who were doing social work. And they all wanted to see the x-ray.
Right.
And I had looked at it, and I didn't even think of it. And I didn't know the x-ray kind of captures your junk as well.
Yeah.
So I threw it up against the window, and like there was just like a police sketch of my penis. You know, which was the star of the show, and the little space where the bullet was kind of the, you know, supporting cast.
Oh, God. Let's go back to your marriage. Are there kids in the plan?
Definitely going to be kids. I need somebody to take care of me when I get older. So
okay. That's
just, you know, it's funny. We live in a time now where, like, nobody wants to have kids. It's really funny. Like, I remember my grandfather, who, of course, I'm Greek. He owned a restaurant. Yes.
Yeah. What, was it a restaurant? Was it a restaurant? You were in New York. Was it a restaurant or was it a diner?
Well, if you were going in there to get a burger or eggs, you would call it a diner. But Greeks call them restaurants.
Did he have that blue cup with the columns on it?
I think he invented it, to be honest with you. So I remember him saying, like, hey, I work so hard, so one day you don't have to. And I never knew that this is what he had in mind, because if he was still alive, he would see that I am completely living his dream for me, because I work about tops an hour a day a couple times a week. So we live in a time where, like, nobody wants to have kids because our lives are so good. You know, it's like our grandparents and parents worked so hard for us to have this better life. And now, like, nobody wants to have kids because we don't want them to ruin our life. It's too good a time right now.
Well, Yannis Pappas is working tomorrow night and Saturday at the Franklin Institute. This is the first time we're hearing about comedy being done at the Franklin Institute. So good luck with this. There's one show each night at 8 o'clock. Tickets are available through sjpcomedy.com. Yannis, it was great to talk to you. Hopefully you can come in the studio sometime.
Definitely, man. This was so much fun. Thanks for having me.
All right, you take care.
The John DiBella Podcast.
Bigger, better and stronger than ever before.
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9 MGK.
And we will make
the John DeBella podcast
great again. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Last Thursday, a team of researchers at MIT posted a study on the hipster effect,
right,
about how hipsters tend to gravitate towards similar fashion trends and they all look the same. Well, then after they posted it, someone complained about a stock photo they used of a hipster with a beard wearing a knit hat. The guy who complained said that he was the model in the photo and he was upset at them for implying that he is a generic hipster.
Okay.
Here comes the fun part. It turns out it was actually a different model in the photo than him, and it looked just like him. All right, to repeat that, the guy was angry at them for implying he's a generic hipster who looks like every other hipster, and it turns out that he's such a generic hipster, he couldn't even tell himself apart from the random dude with a beard. All right, researchers joked for a while about that one.
I rally against hipsters. I shouldn't. If you're a hipster, that's fine. Be a hipster. It's okay. You're 22. You're supposed to be an Just don't get so embedded in it that you become like hipster Serpico, that you don't know that all of a sudden you're 26, you got like a Golden Girls neck tattoo and you're on a unicycle, and somebody's like, what do you really like? You're like, I don't even know anymore. You know, don't become so entrenched that you forgot that you're a human being. Learn that optimism and stupidity are two sides of the same coin. Learn that one, trying to change my pants without taking my shoes off.
John DeBella.
Someone smells stinky.
102.9.
Oh, it's me.
MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.